several psukim, and we read the several psukim which discussed in the what the Mashiach would be like, the fact that he would be able to spell out truth, he'll be involved in justice, etc. If we keep on reading in that perek, perek Yud Aleph of Yeshaya, we will find that, in fact, it goes on to explain what exactly will happen in the Messianic era. These are psukim that I'm sure people are familiar with, starting with Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Vav, V'garze Evim Keves V'namer Im Gedi Yerbatz, V'Egel Kfir Mori Yachta V'Narka Tono Egbohem. Right, the wolf will live with the sheep, the leopard will lie down with the kid and the calf, and basically animals, predators, and prey will in fact live together. And in fact, they will not, the predator will not harm the prey, and in fact, they will not harm people. A young child will walk in front of them. And then it keeps on going. We're familiar with what's this. Upar of Adov Tirene Yachtav Yerbotsu Yaldei V'ayei Kavaku Yochel Teven. Talks about the lion, for example. The lion is going to become an herbivore. The lion all of a sudden is going to go vegetarian on us. And it's going to start to eat grass and stop eating other animals. It would seem from here quite obvious that the time of the Mashiach is going to be a major change to nature. If you look at the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos explains this is the opinion of Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that whatever the Navi is talking about here, whatever the prophets are describing of what it's going to be like in the time of Mashiach, this is all talking about Mashiach. Right? Mashiach is going to come and nature is going to change. However, if we talk about Olam Haba, we talk about the afterlife which a person gets for living a righteous life, that's way beyond this, right? Ayin l'ra, so there's no way even to imagine how wonderful that is. Shmuel, however, disagrees. And Shmuel says that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Ribos HaMashiach HaRashivet Malchus Bolad. The only difference between nowadays and the days of the Mashiach is political. That up until now, the Jewish people are subservient to the nations of the world. However, in the time of the Mashiach, that's going to change, that the Jewish nation will be on top, and we no longer have to worry about being attacked by other nations. Going forward, everything is going to be great. But in terms of nature, nature is going to be the same. You still don't want to be hanging out too close with the lions, right? You still, etc. None of that's going to change. What's going to happen afterwards? In Olam Haba, what's going to happen? Tchias HaMeisim, different story. But Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic era, will not be that different than the life is nowadays. It will just be a better version of nature. The question is obvious, but how do you read those psukim? How do you tell me, in fact, that the pasuk that says that all of a sudden the lions are going to go vegetarian, and wolves and lambs are just going to hang out together and play pinochle, and lambs will have nothing to worry about, that in fact is very different than the world is nowadays. There are basically four different approaches in how to understand the Psukim in Yeshaya. The first approach is the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash is very clear in that he takes the Psukim literally. And he says that it's really understandable. Why is that? He said, well, let's go back a few years, like 5,780 approximately. When Adam HaRishon was first created, there was no fear that he had of the animals. Up until the saw time that Adam sinned, up until the time that he ate from the Eitz Hadas, man had no fears of animals. Animals would not attack a person. And as it famously says, that it's not the lo ha-nachash meimis, lo ha-akrav meimis. It's not a snake that kills people. It's not a scorpion that kills people, but rather it is sin that kills the person. So originally, pre the original sin, there was no fear whatsoever of being among what we now call wild beasts. They would not attack man. in the time of the Mashiach, right, when that comes, there'll be a basic change in human nature. Right? Right now, we have an equal amount of Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. We have our evil inclination and our good inclination. And we, on our own, have to overcome the evil inclination and do what is right. And if we overcome that evil inclination and do what's right, well, then we are rewarded. And if not, unfortunately, we get punished. That's the way life works. When the Mashiach comes, and all of a sudden God is obvious to all, well, that kind of changes everything. Free will isn't that free anymore, right? We will automatically recognize God. We will automatically accept God. And because of that, by and large, man will not sin anymore. And since, because of this recognition, we are not sinning, the world will revert to the point where it was prior to the original sin. And therefore, naturally, if mankind doesn't sin, then mankind does not have to worry about wild beasts, just like Adam HaRishon did not have to worry about wild beasts. So therefore, the Ramban says, we take these verses quite literally. Mashiach will come, we will all see God, we will all recognize God and God's role in history. Because of this unbelievable recognition, we will no longer sin. And since we will no longer sin, we will no longer have to fear the animals of the fields. And therefore, in fact, everything, the lions are going to have to go veggie on us, right? And the lambs don't have to worry about the wolves anymore. That is the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban said it's a logical progression, and therefore this is literally what's going to happen. Now, it all sounds very good, right? That we should recognize God, and through our recognition of God, we will no longer sin. However, it's not all good, because the reason that we get rewarded for that which we do, which is right, is because we are overcoming our inclination to do otherwise. If there is no evil inclination and I do what's right, well, then I'm like an angel that does what's right. And then an angel does not get rewarded for doing what they're supposed to do. So too, according to this approach, that will also be the end of reward. So it's not all good. So get your mitzvahs in now while you can. But the idea is that, in fact, this is a literalist approach, that, in fact, yes, when we say that the lion and the lamb, that's absolutely true. That is the opinion of the Ramban. The Rambam, Maimonides, the first one was Nachmanides, the Rambam is of the opinion that, in fact, no, everything is allegorical. Right? Who is the lamb? We are the lambs, right? Right, just like we have had to go like lambs to slaughter through history, right? Right, and just like many of our leaders were shepherds beforehand, right? Moshe was a shepherd, David was a shepherd, right? We mentioned earlier in the week, Amos was a shepherd, right? The Avos were shepherds, right? Because the job of a leader of the Jewish people is to take care of the sheep. Right? So therefore, the Rambam says, when the Navi says to us that the sheep will no longer have to worry about the wolf, it means that the Jewish nation will no longer have to be concerned about the foreign nations. That the fear of being wiped out at a moment's notice that we have known all too well for too many years, that will go away. But sheep, literally, should still stay away from the wolves. Yes?
Can we know if I describe a transition from the beginning of Mashiach to the consummation?
So again, the Rambam agrees. Again, this is a little bit beyond. The question was, I forgot, they don't hear in internet land questions. The question was, doesn't even the Rambam agree that there will be a transition over time from Mashiach to, let's say, Tchiyas HaBeisim? That's absolutely true. I mean, you look at the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, the 13 basic principles of faith, Ani Imamim Be'amur Yishreim V'Vias HaMashiach, which is based on the Rambam, that is not the last. That's number 12. Right? There's a number 13 that comes afterwards of Tchiyas HaMashiach. Right now, we're just talking about the period of Mashiach, and the Rambam clearly states that he thinks that Shmuel is right, that the Rambam follows Shmuel's opinion, that Ein Bein, there's no difference between what we're doing right now and Yemos HaMashiach, El HaShibud Machias Bilvad, right? Big animals will still eat little animals. Nature will happen as it does. However, the Jewish people will be held in esteem once there is a realization of God, and that will make life much, much better for us. But in terms of the zookeepers, no changes. Yes. So that is not the opinion of the Rambam. So we'll just, for the people who missed the question, they'll get it in the answer. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid says, no. I mean, there's just too many psukim that don't sound that way. The Radvaz steps in, and he explains that, in fact, the Rambam, the Ravid, you're both kind of right. If you look at the psukim closely, there is an indication that talks as says as follows. Looking at Pasuk Tes, lo yoreyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi. They will neither injure nor destroy in all of my sacred mountain. So the Radvaz says, there's the answer. It's literal, but it's not literal throughout the world. It's literal, maybe Har HaBayis, as you said, maybe Yerushalayim, most likely, what the Radvaz says, the entire Eretz Yisrael. In Israel, the nature will change, but outside of nature, it will not change. Outside of Israel, nature will not change. Right? So he splits it. He says that, yes, by and large, nature doesn't change, but Israel will have a special status. That is the opinion of the Radvaz. The fourth opinion, we promised you four of them, is the Radak. The Radak also splits, but he does not split it geographically. But rather than splitting it geographically, he splits it based on people. He says, as far as B'nai Yisrael are concerned, as far as the Jews are concerned, there will be a supernatural existence. Jews will not have to fear wild animals because they will be deserving of this extra protection. However, non-Jewish life will remain the same as it currently is. So again, those are the four approaches as to what's going to be. So again, the opposite ends of the spectrum are the one hand, the Rambam, Maimonides, says really nothing changes. And the Ramban on the opposite says everything changes. And you have two in-betweens, some yes and no. Yes. So again, we definitely believe, the question is what about death? We definitely believe that in the time of Mashiach, people will continue to die. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, again, whether in Tchiyas HaMeisim, whether at the time of the resurrection of the dead, whether the people will re-die. By the time that, correct. The people come back to life, will they live a life and then they'll die again? Or that's it, you know, one death per customer, sorry. And you're from here on in, you're alive. Talk everlasting from here. So, yes.
The follow up on that is if I'm alive in the time of Mashiach and then I die, will I be resurrected?
Yes. There's no reason to believe that someone dies in the time of Mashiach, they will not get to partake in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, it's interesting. So, we have this machlokes as to how special will the time of Mashiach be. The Radvaz actually quotes a Ritva, which says the following. He asked the basic question. So there will come a time, hopefully very soon, right? Let's God willing today still, that Mashiach will come, right? And it'll be unbelievable. The generation that gets to see the coming of Mashiach will be one very lucky generation. They'll be able to see all the grandeur, etc. They get to see miraculously the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt, to see us returning. So the question was asked of the Radvaz, and he said it's always bothered him. There'll be a lot of people who are alive in that generation who are just kind of regular people. And there are a lot of great, great people who will not be there, not because they're not deserving, but because they just weren't lucky enough to be alive in the right generation. So how is that fair? So the Radvaz quotes from the Ritva, which has the following tradition. The Ritva explains that there will be two Tchiyas HaMesims. There will be two resurrections of the dead. At the time of the Mashiach, there will be also a resurrection of the dead, but only for the great Tzaddikim, right? The Moshes, the Aarons, the Miriams, the Davids, the Shlomos, the people that were all-time greats, they will get to come back to see the coming of Mashiach. And then, at some point later in history, there'll be more of a Tchiyas HaMesim Klali, a more general resurrection for people that were good people. And therefore, they should come back, even if they weren't one of the greatest ever. So again, that is already, that, according to that opinion, that's of course something supernatural that will be happening at that point. Even according to the Rambam, it's very hard to say that there won't be any great changes in the time of Mashiach. So the Psukim in Yeshaya, talking about people living hundreds of years, right? It talks about that if somebody dies in the time of the Mashiach, the age of 100, people are going to say, ah, such a young man, right? They talk about people living extremely long lives. So the question is, how does the Rambam deal with that? Isn't that somewhat supernatural? So the Rambam himself accepts that. The Rambam says, yes, people will live regularly to be 150 years old. That's not a question. He said, but that's natural. He said, really, the Rambam is of the opinion that the human body naturally should live that long. However, the stresses of life, the stresses of making a living, the stresses of worrying about your health, the stresses about worrying about all the things that we worry about, that's what cuts down our lifespan, that we only can live to a mere 120 or so. So at the time of the Mashiach, when what are we going to have to worry about? Are we going to worry about being attacked? They're not going to worry about any of that anymore, right? There'll be peace in the world. There'll be justice in the world. There will be poor people still, right? The Gemara mentions that. However, on the other hand, if you look at the Gemara in Ksubos, the Gemara talks about the fact that a single wheat kernel will be the size of a kidney of an ox. Now, that's an, right. So, you know, I'll be honest. I don't know what the size of an ox kidney is, but I would guess it's around the right. Again, had the Gemara been written nowadays, they'd say, and there'd be wheat kernels the size of footballs. Then I'd understand. But I assume it's not that far off. So the idea being that the food is going to be plentiful. Right, people will not have to be worried about starvation, it sounds like. Right, people will not have to worry about, you know, the stresses of life. And, you know, I assume that I'm not a doctor, I don't even play one on TV, but I assume that among the things that stress does to a person is it weakens the immune system, right? It makes a person more susceptible to get diseases, etc. Rambam didn't make it to 150. He didn't make it to 150. Not so much. But again, but he didn't live in Yemos of Mashiach. Right? He had the stresses. The Rambam went through life with terrible stresses. Right? The Rambam was, the only reason he got into this whole medicine thing, right, was because he had a brother that was supporting him in learning, and then his brother tragically died, and you know, the Rambam went into a depression. Yes.
Year 6000, so there's not enough time. So the time and space things are going to be supernatural.
Well, the question was as follows: there's a pasuk that says Samchenu kibei nisanu. Now we say, God, for all the tzaras we had, we should be made equivalently happy. We should get a payback for it, right? So the question is, well, how much time do we have? That's a lot. We've had a lot of suffering. It's going to take a long time to get in all that payback. I think Mashiach, so the question is, we don't have that long until the year 6000. So therefore, the question was, does this, by definition, mean that time and space have to be messed with a little bit to allow for it? The answer is that Mashiach has to come by 6000. He probably doesn't have to leave by the year 6000. Right, just to build on that a little bit, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has an interesting discussion, is how long will the Messianic era last for? Right, the first opinion says 40 years. Doesn't sound like so much. Right? The idea was that after 40 years and they have a pasuk to prove it, then it's going to be the end of it. Otherwise, opinion says 70 years, but the Messianic era doesn't go forever. But the Messianic has to start, perhaps by the year 6000, doesn't necessarily have to end by it. Now, after that, of course, we have the entire, as we mentioned, the period of Tchias HaMesim. Right? Tchias HaMesim is something that's definitely supernatural. Right, Tchias, right? All the rules are out when it comes to Tchias HaMesim. Now, as we said, there's very little we know about it. Right? There's more questions for sure about Tchias HaMesim than we have answers. Right? A person lives a happy, dies at the age of 120. They come back. They come back as a 120-year-old. Right? They come back looking the day they died. Right? Or, you know, you just get to pick the best day of your life and you look like that forever with perfect hair. Right, right. That's one question. Right, a person is cremated. Is it like the cartoons? They come back as a pile of ash with two eyeballs. Right, you know. Right. If you accept the idea of reincarnation. Right. So this is my fifth go round. Let's say, only one of us can come back. It's very interesting. So some opinion says whichever incarnation is the most worthy, that is the incarnation that comes back. So I remember reading, there's a biography on the Baba Sali of Abu Chatzera. And in it, he was very excited because he said he believed that he was a reincarnation of Yecheskel HaNavi. I remember thinking, poor guy. That's a lot of competition. I couldn't take it. I'm hoping that I'm a reincarnation of a bunch of horse thieves. Right, then I got a good chance. I don't want to go into competition with Yecheskel HaNavi. Right? Are people going to pop back with their clothing on? The Gemara asks these questions. Right? Right? The Gemara says yes. You know, you take a seed, you drop it in, it comes out. It's wearing a whole fruit all of a sudden. Right? We know very little about Tchias HaMesim. All we know is that we accept it and we believe it. It's one of the Yigimli Kari Emunah. If somebody denies the concept of Tchias HaMesim, you're a kofer. Yeah, it's a very bad thing. So therefore, we definitely believe in that. The Maharal is a very interesting statement. The Maharal says that this idea that in the time of Mashiach, the fruit will be so plentiful and so delicious and etc., they'll be so large, said, that's actually not a change of nature. Said that the way that things are right now is that the earth is ready to produce the bounty. Like the Ramban says, it's the chet that's goring, right? We have sinned, and therefore we are not worthy of it. And therefore the land is not producing what it should produce. Right? This became a very important discussion regarding the state of Israel. Those who supported the state of Israel said that one of the signs of Yemos HaMashiach is that the Israel is going to start sprouting again. All of a sudden, right, the Negev is going to bear fruit. And look at this. They drained the swamps, right? They've taken for hundreds of years, for centuries, no one's been able to get the land to produce. And the Chalutzim went out there, the early Zionists, and they were able to produce. It's so wonderful. Isn't that a proof that this is the time of Mashiach? And the Sa'amar Rebbe said, no, actually, if I would take any place and I would drain the swamps and I would work hard, I could make it produce. What we're talking about here is when it starts producing miraculously. When you start showing me that the land of Israel is producing wheat grains the size of the kidneys of oxen, okay, then I'm on board. Right? That's the question. So, but the Maral says this is all nature, right? Just like naturally, the Ramban said that naturally we shouldn't be afraid of wild animals, right? Naturally, everything should be good, right? Right. Unfortunately, we have sinned, and that has put us on a lower level. Hopefully, soon enough, we will be worthy of God appearing in a way that is obvious to all. And at that point, you know, then we will have Yemos HaMashiach, and everything will go back. We'll hit the reset button. And when we have the reset button, and then at that point, you know, nature goes back to the way it was. Right, it produces the fruit it was supposed to produce. The animals get along with the way they're supposed to get along with us. Right, we no longer fear the nations of the world. Politically, we're in a better place. Right, we don't worry as much. Physically, we go back to normal. So at the end of the day, even the Rambam, who says things just go back to normal, it's not supernatural, that includes living to be 150 without a problem. Right, that includes, according to the Rambam, you know, not having to worry about making a living, right? Now, according to the Rambam, all we're going to have to do is, at the time of the Mashiach, just focus on Avodas Hashem. We'll have the opportunity to sit and study and to understand God and raise ourselves spiritually without having to worry about everything else. So even the opinions that say it's all the Ein Bein, it's going to be totally natural, not really the same. So that's what we're davening for. We're hoping we've already entered the 9 days, and we are sitting here and hoping that I'll take the Rambam's Yemos HaMashiach now. That would be very fine by me, that things should at least get back to normal. Again, now in the age of COVID, we learned that getting back to normal is no small deal. Right. The question is that over the years that the Mesorah of the Torah has sort of been a game of telephone, and we've lost a little along the way. But that's the question: will there be reversals? The answer is absolutely yes. If Eliyahu Hanavi comes back, as we rightfully expect, and as we said, according to the opinion that there'll be an early Tchias HaMashiach, Moshe Rabbeinu will be back, of course, that would be give us also the ability to bring back the Mesorah to what it was. Okay, we've overstayed our welcome. Thank you very much. Everyone should be well.